So this week on Breaking the Panel, we have the newest Civil War trailer drop. That's what happened to my pants. Sylvester Stallone rumored as Nova for Guardians coming up. There's a new Ghostbusters trailer. I think there's going to be a heated discussion. We might just cross the streams on this one and tear a rift in the universe. And did The Walking Dead hint that somebody's going to die? Bringing up some walking, much needed Walking Dead talk again coming up now.
The comic book now owns pop culture, and that's a worldwide phenomenon. Film, television, literature, even music. These days, it's all about the comics.
I am Arrow.
I'm Batman.
Supergirl?
What does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for, Agent Ward?
I am Iron Man.
And I am Spider-Man.
Hulk. Smash.
We're living the comics life. We're breaking the panel.
All right, hey, I am Epic Boss McFall, taking back the car from the children because, you know, you guys ran into the guardrails. You did a Ferris Bueller while me and Daddy Ibbett were gone, you know, jumping the podcast over the hills, putting miles on it. It's horrible, but it was good. You guys did a good job. I want to say really quick before I introduce everybody, you guys did a great job handling the show. Travis Jones was on. It was fun. It was awesome. I really enjoyed listening to it, so kudos to you. And the guys I am saying kudos to, that'd be Soapbox Klotz.
Yo, what up?
And I can't really come up with a better name than Wisdom. How do you come up with a better name than Wisdom for Chris Wisdom?
Right.
You know, you can't beat that. And of course, as I mentioned, the Ibbett, Golden Age, yo. Golden Voiced, Golden Looked Ibbett.
Golden Throated, yeah.
Yeah. So let's jump right to it. Newest Civil War trailer drops. I think everybody but maybe Klotz got to see it.
No. I got to see it on my break at work.
Awesome. Good boy, man. All right. I just have one thing to say. I love the tagline at the end where Iron Man goes, underoos, and here goes Spider-Man. And that was, when he said underoos, it just tickled me so much. I thought that was
it's
a great
hilarious,
line.
Hilarious, yeah. So let's kind of break it down. A lot of stuff that we've kind of seen bits of in the first trailer, you know, as far as the battle between Tony and
it was
and
darker
Steve.
This time though, don't you think?
Definitely, well, yeah. darker toned.
Yes,
but
yes, yes.
I saw a side by side view of some of the airport shots from the final battle, or the battle that takes place at the end of both trailers, with both, you know, teams running against each other, running towards each other like a great comic book cover.
Yeah.
And holy cow, have they lightened things up for this new trailer. It's a lot lighter. It's a lot clearer. It's like the first one had a bunch of dirt on the lens, and this new one is much cleaner and clearer. We get to see a little bit more of Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Yes.
In this one.
Yes.
And kind of a shot of her taking him down, and which is kind of funny for comic book fans who know that they had a relationship, actually got married in the comics. So,
and them divorced or separated, something went wrong with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. She just couldn't justify being married to an android, I guess. I don't know.
it might have been after House of M, but that won't play in here yet.
Right. What else? We get more battle between Winter Soldier and Black Panther. We get Winter Soldier trying to shoot Tony in the face.
yeah. That the look, man. RDJ is such a great actor. They're like, you just shot me almost. What? Yeah. You actually pulled it. Yeah. And I'm like, it's Bucky. What do you think?
Right. And let's go ahead and get to the, you know, the big reveal, the big elephant in the room. Our first glimpse of MCU Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And pretty cool. I mean, again, it's our first look at him. I love the fact that they're doing the same thing that they did with Deadpool, or doing the same thing we saw with Deadpool, which is that the eyes aren't just big solid white patches,
yeah,
that they actually move, that, you know, that Peter Parker was smart enough to use a little bit of double-sided sticky tape in his eyebrows. So when he winks or blinks or something, you actually see it in the mask.
Now, it's funny, all of you guys picked up on that in the trailer. I didn't. It actually took me the second time of watching Deadpool to notice that he did it.
Oh, really?
You know, I just kind of absorbed it because Deadpool's a person to me. It's not a costume, because in the comics, he's always emoting with the mask and you just take it for granted. Or at least I do. So yeah, in the movie, I finally realized, they animated his face. That's really cool. I didn't even pick up on that Spider-Man did the same thing.
Because when you say to me McFall, my first thought is observant.
There's a picture of that in the dictionary under the word observant, isn't there?
Yep.
Oh, Lord. I enjoy my toys. That's what I say. I enjoyed watching the trailer. And when the Panther swiped Bucky's rear tire, that was a great scene. Oh, my God.
Both of them kind of go tumbling a little bit. There's an explosion at some sort of meeting or conference. A lot, you know, obviously it doesn't do what so many trailers seem to do lately, is give too much away. I mean, you're left with a lot of questions like, oh yeah, why is this happening? Ooh, where's this going to be? And what's this weird ice cold island that we're looking at in the very beginning? Is it Gilligan's Island? Is it frozen over?
I think that was probably at the UN. I'm just trying to decide if there was something happening outside the building that got brought in, or if they were actually having a meeting about that and it was attacked.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to set that up.
Yeah, who knows? We get another attack on, we get the attack, we get more of the attack, I should say, on War Machine. And seeing him get hit and
Do we want to do spoiler guesses, or do we want to just let it ride?
We can do spoiler guesses. I mean, all we can do, all
fans are doing right now, speculating. We're speculating. So, of course, if you've read Civil War, or at least listened to Panel by Panel where we went over Civil War, in the comics, you know, is it Goliath?
Goliath.
Because he was different before, but in this case, his name was Goliath. Here, in the middle of the war, Tony brings in essentially Android Thor. Thor's been gone. He's been off dealing with whatever he's dealing with at the time. And everybody thought he was dead, actually. And here comes, they don't know it's Android Thor, but he comes and he goes a little crazy and he kills Goliath, like through the heart, lightning blast, dead. And it changes the whole tone and tide of the war and the story from there out. It plays in later as to how things end and why. Do you think Rhodey is going to be Goliath for this movie?
That's a good question.
The trailers are setting it up to look like that, so I don't know if they're giving us too much.
We're not sure if he's dead or not. I mean, he looks dead.
Yep.
Which would be sad. I mean,
Hiss when Tony takes off the front of the mask. There's a little bit of a hiss that could be breathing. So who knows?
So the shot turns him into Cobra Commander, maybe?
That's exactly right, yes. Who knows? But if this is a way to get Don Cheadle out of these movies, that'd be a huge bummer, right?
Yeah, I've enjoyed his character.
He had so much, and it feels like he's been such a sidekick character, with the exception of Iron Man 2, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because he was such a big part of it,
yeah.
I mean, we get a small bit of him in.
That's where War Machine first really debuts, is in Iron Man 2.
We get a glimpse of the suit in Iron Man 1, and Rhodey V1.
Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard looks at him and says, "Yeah, next time." But and we don't really get much of him in Iron Man 3. Just discussions at the at a hearing, right?
Yes.
And it's just more Don Cheadle than War Machine. Yeah, so I mean, it'd be a bummer if we lose War Machine as part of this.
Yeah.
So. Well, I mean, the thing about War Machine is it's a mantle that can be passed on pretty easy.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, just losing Don Cheadle doesn't mean that it's game over, you know?
It will be sad. I mean, it's Rhodey, right?
Right.
So that's sad. That's like when Happy died in the comics.
But we love Don Cheadle. Let's talk about the visual, the CGI Spider-Man at the end, because that has been probably the most controversial part of this whole trailer, is seeing the slings and arrows online from nerds who love it, nerds who hate it.
So Klotz, how's it compared to Colossus?
Okay, I watched it on my phone, so like I can't weigh in on it yet. I would have to go watch the trailer on my computer.
I didn't think much of it. You guys?
I thought it looked fine. And Spider-Man for me has always been as close to a virtual cartoon character as there is in the Marvel Universe, or at least one of those characters that's as close to a cartoon character. You know, Howard the Duck. All right, come on. But seeing him very brightly colored, almost, you know, more brightly colored than the kind of the real costumes that we see with most of the other MCU characters, you know, Captain America is not in the spandex. He's in armor that looks like our Captain America costume.
Yeah.
Black Panther is not in black spandex. He's got armor, and there's even like metal, silver metal bits in there and stuff. So, Spider-Man is our first true spandex, all spandex MCU characters. So there is going to be that jolt seeing him in this compared to the other ones. I personally, I liked it. I've got no problems with it.
I would like to see them move, like in the comics where he got armor during this because he sided with Tony and Tony built
it. Oh, like the Iron Spider armor?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could be different, but just something better in spandex. I mean, because spandex is just understandably easy to make. So yourself and Aunt May's, you know, basement or whatever, but you're going to war, son. You need some armor.
Well, yeah. I won't hold your breath for that. No.
What I'm hoping for is this is going to show us growth in the costume. Like this is version one or version, you know, 1.2 or something that we'll get to see it progress. My problem with, and it wasn't even a big problem. Like I loved this trailer. I was super excited when I saw Spider-Man. Was it looked like an Alex Ross painting.
Oh,
is what
totally
it looked like.
Did.
So,
yeah, good.
So it's like
there.
it's more real than a comic book, but it's not as real as everybody else that should be on the screen with them. So that was the only part that caught me, and that's why I thought maybe the final effects weren't as polished and it'll look better when we see the final movie. But that's the only negative thing that I have to say about it. And that's not a negative, because when you're talking Alex Ross, that's the cream of the crop when you're talking comic book art.
Sure. Good call. Yeah, that
indubitably.
Didn't even make that comparison, but holy cow, totally Alex Ross-esque appearance there.
I did believe the opening of the trailer brought more gravity than any of the other trailers have.
Oh,
it's like Team Tony, Team Tony. No, the opening of where they show all the destruction, New York, and then I forget the next place in Sarkovia, and it's like
right, the Washington D.C. with the fall of the helicarriers at Hydra. Yeah,
when General Ross was like, and people thought Superman were bad. You guys need to quit screwing up.
So very excited, very excited. What's the release date for Civil War?
The 25th, I believe, is the official, March 25th. And then I'm sure there's screenings that week prior. And I think what they were going to do, because, you know, these Marvel movies, they've been doing the marathons prior to.
Yes.
I think we're just getting the Cap movies prior to. And I can't remember if there was something else or not.
And it's May that this comes out, not March.
Yeah, I was going to say March would be like right on top of BVS.
Yeah. So. Yeah, sorry,
although
sorry.
Actually this is May 6th.
Yeah. Sorry. I got BVS mixed up. That's my fault.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you would.
Yeah.
Wow. Is two guys fighting? That's got to be Batman versus Superman, right?
Somebody that, because I just pulled it up here to look at the date. I didn't realize Martin Freeman is... he's playing Everett K. Ross, so General Ross's son, presumably.
Oh, you know, the funny part about that is we talked about that in the past.
Oh, we have. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember either.
Yeah, we talked about him getting cast and how it was weird that we had Benedict Cumberbatch for Strange in the same universe as as Freeman. So
right. Well, and not to mention Sam Rockwell. So you've got your... Arthur Dent and your Zaphod Beeblebrox too in the same universe.
We had to get Mos Def to come out and
Or Zooey Deschanel.
All right, what about, y'all are kidding, but I would pay money for that.
Is there a Hobbit connection that we can make with these two?
Gandalf,
sure. Magneto, and
get Aiden in there.
Yeah. So, all right. So here's another great rumor. This one's a rumor. Sylvester Stallone rumored as a Nova for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. A few days ago, saw word hit that Sylvester Stallone was spotted in Atlanta on his way to the set of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Now, it's revealed that Sylvester Stallone might be playing a Nova. According to On Location Vacations, a tipster provided information that Sylvester Stallone's costume looks a lot like Judge Dredd. Because Jesus Christ will never get away from comparing him to that. If you are familiar with Judge Dredd, the Nova, of course they look a lot alike, period.
Yeah. Yeah. You they've got that same, you know, armor helmet with the cutaway chin bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those helmets. I mean, you could say it kind of looks like Magneto's helmet. It looks like Diggle's helmet in Arrow.
Right. In Arrow.
Yeah.
So how much credence are we going to lend to On Location Vacations?
I read this because I like Stallone movies. I grew up in the age of guy movies, and he was the big star on the screen. And back when there was the only Judge Dredd, I actually enjoyed it, even though Rob Schneider Schneidered that movie up big time.
Judge Dredd, the Dredd Man, Dredd Reno.
He pop anonymous.
You can't do it, Judge Dredd.
Although the Carl Urban Judge Dredd, I think, redeemed the franchise, in my opinion. I thought it brought it back to a more grittier, darker, violent film.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be really cool if Stallone makes a cameo, you know, as a Nova in the background. Then he takes his helmet off for a line or something. And I don't know. Because he's not. Do we have the head of the Nova Corps cast? Is there a head? I mean, I know there's a head in the comics. There's different leaders of the Nova Corps.
The first Guardians, Glenn Close is kind of the
kind
of the head of the Nova Corps. Well, but you're talking more about like the Richard Rider style.
Yes, I can't remember his name. Yeah, I know Close. Yeah.
Or as Chris would say, Hal Jordan.
No.
Right.
Because I kind of got the feeling that the comedian, curly-haired comedian guy, was supposed to be filling that role slightly, but it really wasn't.
John C. Reilly?
Yeah, but never was said. I was like, no, he's at least no Richard Rider. I don't know about any other role for that.
You know, he's more of the Hydra Bob
right?
equivalent of the Nova Corps.
Well, no, I don't believe he's a total dick.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying the Deadpool movie Hydra Bob. I'm saying like the
No. That's his line, right? She's like he said, "Don't be a dick." She's like, "Yeah, it was a fun line." She said, "What do you think?" I don't think he's a total dick. It's like, no, about the plan.
I don't think anybody's 100%.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Gotcha. I missed the line.
Although the English square jaw guy could have been filling one of those roles as well, where he dies in the fence.
Whatever. Yes. Right. Yeah. Right.
I needed, when I saw Nova Corps, I'm like, where's the definitive field general? You know, my Richard Rider, or I know there's been three or four others that were very prevalent in the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where is that? So I wonder.
Well, see, the way they did it, though, they left it wide open for a dedicated Nova movie, right?
Yeah. Where
Richard Rider is given the powers to, or whichever Nova, you know, the current continuity Nova or 1970s Nova or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he could be given that mantle, and then we've already established, all right, Nova Corps, we know what he's going to be part of. And this is kind of his inauguration into the MCU. It's a great way of doing it.
And Richard didn't even really get to be that field general until War of Kings. Because before that, that's the Nova we always got to see because we were in his sector.
Right.
Whenever he was around the other Novas, he seemed like the junior. You know, he seemed more like the Guy Garner versus the Hal Jordan to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get you because we covered War of Kings. And yeah, I get that.
But as far as Sylvester Stallone, he's such a recognizable actor. I mean, this was one of the things that I was worried about with Michael Douglas's Hank Pym.
Right.
Is that such an established actor in a major superhero role. And I mean, we've had William Hurt, we've had Robert Redford and all these kind of expanded universe roles or you know, not somebody who's putting on the cape and the boots and whatever and fighting crime. I don't know. I feel like Sylvester Stallone has been around for such a long time, especially with all the Rocky and Rambo stuff, mm-hmm. that seeing him playing a Nova Corps character might take us out of the film. But, you know, I don't know.
Glenn Close, too. You know?
No, see Glenn Close. Yeah, that's a good point. But again, she stayed on the base and just kind of directed things. We never saw her out.
Well, you know. She then closed it up, which is a good thing. But, you know, she was
don't know what that means.
The authoritative, strong female, no-nonsense leader.
Right.
You know, she's done Oscar award winning. I think she's at least nominated stuff all the way to being on the Shield for like the last two seasons. She was the police chief there. Or
she
whatever.
Was nominated for Dangerous Liaisons, maybe?
Sounds right.
Yeah. Wasn't.
I don't know, Trivia Boy.
Fatal Attraction or anything, but
Death Becomes Her.
Oh,
Klotz, what do you think? Would you like to see Stallone in Guardians 2?
I am the law.
I think that is a yes.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I think people's negative responses to him are a little bit overblown. I mean, we can thank the presence of these modern films to that whole era, you know, the Schwarzenegger Stallone rivalry era. So yeah, no, I mean, by all means, let him show up. It'd be fun. Just, I don't know if he could carry a main part, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can be a linchpin in your story. That might not work out, but for the most part, yeah.
All right, next, moving on. All right, here comes the controversy. New Ghostbusters trailer dropped.
Really?
Directly into the toilet bowl.
See, no!
From the ass directly into the bowl. Do not pass good. Do not collect any of my dollars directly into the toilet bowl.
I respectfully decline, sir. Although it looks like there, I thought when I heard all the rumors and all the leaked press about there are two versions of Ghostbusters being written at the time and pushed forward, that the whole idea was it's still in the same universe. The continuity stays the same. They're just franchising it out. That's how I originally heard this all-female cast be, but according to the trailer, it looks like they're rebooting the entire film.
Well, that's the thing. The trailer is confusing on that aspect. Yes. That's probably my biggest complaint about the trailer is the beginning, the first 30 seconds of it.
30 years ago, four men, blah, 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 blah.
Four scientists.
Yeah.
But then it just doesn't act
Hudson
like
wasn't a scientist.
That, you know? Melissa McCarthy.
Well, but Hudson was a scientist. It's because they cut all of his stuff out. Like, he was one of the smartest guys in the group.
Right, there you go. Okay. Wait, Hudson, am I getting that right? Or am I dropping
Ernie
my...
Hudson.
Ernie Hudson. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's right.
Yeah,
I was confusing his character. For some reason, I was thinking, wait, Hudson? Hicks? Wait a minute. What's the...
No. A lot of his stuff hit the editing room floor, honestly. So we didn't get to see him be what he was. His former, I want to say, Air Force guy. And I want to say mechanical engineer, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he had...
Wow.
Yeah, his character was really expanded. And I want to say there was an article a few years ago where Ernie Hudson said one of his biggest regrets was what they did to that character because he was the confusion was the confusion caused by that first 30 seconds to me was my biggest gripe. The only other thing was the ghosts. To me, I liked the detail that were in the ghosts, but the ghosts looked too much like the PlayStation game for me versus how I thought if ghosts were real that they would look more like they did in the first Ghostbusters. So.
Interesting.
So, okay, let me jump in here. I have to say that one of the things that kind of skewed my opinion on the trailer was that I saw reactions to it before I actually saw the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big ones for me was Boogie, the YouTube personality that is also often known as Francis, you know, the large man who flips over the table full of magic cards. Uh-huh. That's a famous meme, you know.
In reality,
he's a really awesome YouTuber that puts out some really interesting content. He reacted to it, and I agree with him completely. So this opinion isn't completely from myself. I don't want to steal his opinion and not cite it. Sure. His big thing was that it didn't feel like these women were like playing into that original archetype of these are four, you know, intelligent characters, you know, scientists, you know, they have their little tics and everything. Like they're all different. You know what I mean? They're unique.
Yeah.
But that they're all like on a similar level. They're all, you know, smart people and, you know, they're trying to tackle this budding problem. No, they're just playing directly into stereotypes. And I kind of agree with that. Like I think it's like they're caricatures of the original characters, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that's really disappointing. You know, he commented on how he felt like Melissa McCarthy's character was going to be and I'm trying to dance around this carefully here, but you know, the overweight female that is clumsy and, you know, does
the character that Melissa McCarthy pretty much always plays
as opposed to like Spy where she was very good at what she did.
Right, exactly.
That opinion is nobody ever was upset with Chris Farley for doing that. So you got to remove that right off the board. Like, okay, then you just have a problem with it because it's a female that's doing it. Because there's no reason to have it. No, not you personally, just that argument. Because if you don't turn around and say, well, Chris Farley only ever did that, then the argument holds no water, because you can't hold those two actors to the
same. Chris Farley never took a franchise 30 years old and recast it and turned it into like a slapstick comedy thing.
Neither did Melissa McCarthy. She didn't do that.
I'm not picking on her. I'm picking on. Well, no, but well, you're putting the cart before the horse here, man. Like you're getting in on my argument before I fully fleshed it out. Because she's not even she's not even the most egregious example of that. I would argue that
Leslie Jones.
Yeah, I couldn't remember her last name. Leslie Jones' character is an incredibly ridiculous, you know, African American woman stereotype, and I don't care for it. Like, I'm like, you could have played this, because that's her shtick on SNL. But I've always wanted to believe on SNL that it's a shtick, you know, it's they play it up for a reason. I thought it would have been amazing if they came into it and they made her this, you know, smart but funny character, you know, and that doesn't appear to be the case at all. She appears to be the simpleton that is, you know, I don't care for it. Like it rubbed me completely the wrong way. And I was just like, this isn't what original Ghostbusters was. Original Ghostbusters was clever. It was smart. It was doing a lot of things without it, you know, there was some slapstick and stuff, but it wasn't just wall to wall base level comedy. It was smart. It was nuanced, you know?
Yeah. That's what gave me the sense that this was a reboot of the original, not in the same continuity, because they all literally, well, it feels like literally fit into she's Dan Aykroyd. She's, you know,
well, we were trying to do that.
Name it.
You know? Yeah. We're looking at that, on another show, and I was feeling like this one's a little bit harder to do that with, right? Like the who is the Melissa McCarthy, like who is the Melissa McCarthy equivalent in the first set of Ghostbusters?
Bill Murray.
You think?
No, Dan Aykroyd. Kristen Wiig.
I could take that.
Oh, that's the way they're playing it. I mean,
you know, the Egon and the Kate McKinnon, there's some parody there. And of course, Leslie Jones and Ernie Hudson, the parody there. But I don't know. It feels like at least with those other two, with Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy, they are not trying to just create version 2.0 of the same characters from the original. It's my opinion. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's there's enough differences that until we see the full movie, I'm feeling like they're not going the same.
Oh no. It's just when you drop a trailer like this, it's already got nerd rage on it because they're women. And that's the truth, is when people announce, we're going to do an all female cast, the internet blew up. It's like, come on, let's at least see what they're going to do.
I think it's a cool idea.
I do too. And when I heard Melissa McCarthy, I'm like, shut up and take my money, because I really enjoy her style.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
Kristen Wiig, same thing. It's not as much, but I like her writing and I like a lot of what she does. Yep. And when I watched it with my daughter, who's a huge Ghostbusters fan, and as you know, a female herself, obviously, she was excited that she gets to see these women go out and do it. And of course, you have to laugh at, I think, her name is Sally, where Melissa McCarthy gets taken over by the ghost, and she goes, I'm gonna slap the demon out of you, and she slaps her, and the demon flees, and she goes, the power of Sally compels you, and she slaps her again. Crack up. I'm like, okay, more of that kind of stuff is great. But Slimer, man, looks on point. Yep. The librarian, which again, there you go, wait, are they, even my daughter Crosby, who's 9, she was like, are they redoing the first one? Because she recognized the librarian, even though it's way updated and looks way better. Like, I don't know, but let's hope it's going to be fun anyway. Let's see what happens. Yeah. The weapon upgrades. What do you guys think about the weapon upgrades?
I don't think we could be farther apart on this, McFall.
That's fine.
I don't like the trap. I'm like, I kudos for trying something new, but I don't like the trap. I like the other additional stuff, like the little pistol looking things.
Yeah.
Proton pack, I don't have a problem with, but the trap, for some reason, it's like, that's dumb. I don't like
that it actually closes on something that's inanimate, that has no form.
Yeah. It's going to be, you know, Klotz, let me ask you this in all seriousness, Klotz. Obviously, you have your feelings, and that's everybody's entitled to. That's why we discuss this kind of thing on the show. If they drop a different trailer that shows a whole different take on the movie, would you be open to changing your mind? Or are you pretty much going, I don't care?
I'm not someone who's generally not open to changing my mind, you know, with exposure to more facts or things, you know. Sure. I'm not closed-minded. I really am not.
No, I would agree. But
there is stuff that I was initially against that I've come around on. And there's stuff that I've initially been into that I've done the opposite on. A couple of good examples. Doctor Who, initially, I didn't really give a single at all. And now I enjoy it. You know, I'm not a huge fan like some people are. You know, I definitely have my issues with it. I think we've talked about it a little bit in the past. But another on the flip side is Big Bang Theory. Started out enjoying it. I can barely watch it now. Like, it's almost intolerable to me. So it's not that I just unfairly, like, predispose myself and I'm like, nah, I'm just not going to like this thing. It's just like when my big thing is with reboots, like when you're taking or just, you know, franchises in general. I don't like it when a production company takes a strong franchise that has a following and is like, all right, we're just going to back up the dump truck and you guys are going to load money in because we're making something of this franchise, and they don't put any care or thought into it. I mean, that's my big issue with the Transformers franchise. It has great moments, but I mean, those are just, they rake in this money, but it's like, it's only because kids want to go see robots beat up each other, not because they're actually great films. Which they could have been. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
No. And I understand your point on the Transformers stuff, but when the argument becomes that the movies were an obvious cash grab, you have to take into account that the cartoon that everybody fell in love with was an obvious cash grab. G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers were made for one reason, and that was to sell those toys. So I would say that Michael Bay, as much as we disagree with his directorial choices, probably got the true spirit of the movie more than anybody wants to get
involved. But I still reserve the right to hold Hollywood or whoever's involved in making this stuff to a higher standard.
Fair enough.
We live in the modern age of stuff like Captain America, Winter Soldier. That film, despite being a comic book film, I think is one of the best, you know, political thrillers of the last decade.
Yes.
I really do. I'd put it up there with some of the great Tom Clancy movies of the 90s. I'd put it up there with any of that stuff. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was good, and not just because there were superheroes in it. I loved it, and I was really excited to see somebody go in that direction. We're talking about franchise here. You know what I mean? There was room there, and they went for it, and they knocked it out of the park, in my opinion. And they've continued to do that. Ant-Man was another thing. We're going to go down this little path, and yeah, it's about all this stuff that Ant-Man is, but they explored stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And it's a heist movie.
Yeah, that's
they keep genre bending is where Marvel is doing right. Well. And I go back to the new Fantastic Four that I didn't have a problem with their take on it when the initially. Like, people were scared as soon as they were like, oh, this is a synopsis. No way. It's going to suck. The kids are going to – this looks horrible. Had no problem with it because I was like, these guys have guts. They're taking a sci-fi look at the Marvel – the one number one Marvel property that should every time be sci-fi. Right. Cool if you're not taking a comic book bent to the Fantastic Four, because they should always be a sci-fi. It should always be a sci-fi take. So I give them props for doing that. They just didn't execute well. But for me, I guess with Ghostbusters right now, I think where they have that confusion, is this a reboot or is this a redo?
Yeah.
There's too many flavors of, honestly, Star Wars Episode 7 right now, because we can see it in the previews, beat for beat, how this is following the first movie.
I think,
and I think it would have been braver if they would have just said, hey, this is a new movie, we're starting over, and
it never happened before.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that kind of brings us to, like, the big break point for a lot of folks like myself that are, like, really not thrilled right now. I think if we're talking about a reboot, it's a disappointing reboot in that they could have done better, at least so far from what I've seen, to me. If it's in the same continuity, they have failed this city. Okay. Like, that is my issue. Like, nice. I don't want to harp on it too much. I don't, you know, and we should move on here in a second, but like the original Ghostbusters was a masterpiece. It was so smart for its time. And you had incredible people involved. I mean, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, I mean, these are like best of the best. Like, these are some of the best SNL players in history. They're, you know, they're just, their back catalog is incredible, right? And I like the people that are in this movie. Like, I like Kate McKinnon. I like Kristen Wiig. I like Melissa McCarthy. I really do, even though she often plays that same, you know, I enjoy her. She was really good on Gilmore Girls, and I just totally outed myself as somebody who has watched a fair amount of Gilmore Girls.
You know, I'm with you.
You know, gotcha. And I always, one of the things I liked about that show, because my sister used to watch it, that's what got me watching it with her. When we lived together, you know, 10 years ago when it was on, was that that was a smart, like, situational comedy. You know what I mean? Like, it was clever. It had, you know, I want to see stuff like that. I want to see smart stories. I want to see it. There can be some slapstick in there. There can be some goofing off, because there certainly was in the original Ghostbusters. I didn't care for that scene with Leslie Jones slapping the ghost out of McCarthy really much at all, because I just thought it was so clear to me that that is the go-to gag there, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, it was so straightforward and not, like, smart at all. You know what I mean? If you come out from the onset of, like, that's our goal, we're just going to make a dumb slapstick, you know, you're just going to laugh movie, that'd be fine. Except they picked one of those franchises that people feel really strongly about. So that's where you get these nerd rage responses.
Well, it comes down to, here's where I will agree with some of the stuff. It comes down to how they viewed, whoever the director / producer driving force is, how they viewed the original property. Did you grow up viewing it as a slapstick comedy and miss a lot of the deeper, finer points? If you did that, then you're just gonna make a very shallow surface slapstick movie. Did you see it, you know, differently? Point Break, one of my favorite films growing up in the 90s. They remade it. They took out everything I liked about the first movie. They changed every last bit of what I really loved about the first movie to where I don't even recognize the second one. The second one, as a separate movie by itself, looks like an interesting adventure heist movie. But when you call it Point Break and you took out everything that, to me, made it the heart of that movie, it's a different movie. That could be the case
real
here.
Question is, how many times does Swayze roll over in response to that?
And I think one of the things we need to give Hollywood at least the benefit of the doubt on this is, or at least give them a pass, is how many times can they touch a property going forward and be beholden to people that were growing up in the 80s and 90s? Because it's just like comic books. The ones that are the most influential in your life are the ones that you were reading when you were a teen or when you first got into it. So when you first saw Ghostbusters, yeah, that's the Ghostbusters you glommed onto and you appreciated. Charles's daughter, she may have that appreciation that you had for the original Ghostbusters. This new one may be the one she has those feelings.
Right. Well,
that's why I avoided showing Star Wars 1, 2, and 3 to my kids.
Yeah. I hear you, Chris. You're not wrong, but you're wrong. My issue, I feel a little bit on the opposite, because I feel like when you choose a franchise from the 80s or 90s, which is easy pickings right now, I mean, this is the issue. I was born in 1984. I'm going to be 32 at the end of this month. I grew up in the 80s and 90s. That stuff is my childhood. When you pick stuff from that era, you are marketing to me. You're marketing to me on the hope that I have young children. You're marketing to me on the, you know, you're marketing to me because I'm the demographic that has the most disposable income and the lack of wisdom in which to waste it. You know, that is the thing. You make your bed. You get to sleep in it. You choose something from my childhood, you're going to get me to expect you to meet a certain standard, to take something I love and improve, not reduce. You know what I mean?
But at 32, you're at the tail end of that demographic, and they're counting on your kids. And see, Charles, Brian, and I are outside of the demographic, and they're counting on our kids saying, hey, I want the Melissa McCarthy Ghostbusters action figures that they're going to count on.
Well, sort of. I mean, I was 14, 15 when the first Ghostbusters came out, so I was, I was prime age. I remember going to see the movie with my dad and his girlfriend at the time. My parents are separated, by the way, or divorced, I should explain. It was a mistress situation. But
The nice lady.
I remember even going to a restaurant afterwards, and all we could talk about was how much we loved the movie. I mean, I remember sitting there with my dad and his girlfriend. So, you know, I've got the nostalgia for the first one as well, and that feeling. And I'm with you, Klotz. If they are going to take something if they're going to do a reboot, regardless of me having a son and Tristan being kind of the right targeted age for these movies, they still better do it justice if they want me to send my kids to see that movie or say, oh man, you got to go check this out, or forward them a link to the trailer and say, yeah, dude, wait till you see this. This is going to be great. Yeah. So I'm with you in that aspect.
And I get that side of it. I worry that we start turning people into George Lucas, but at the end of the day, maybe the argument maybe the true argument is Hollywood start being more creative.
Lucas not going to go forward as the perfect parable of, this is what happens when you create the most powerful, iconic franchise of movie history and then become beholden only to the dollar. You know what I mean? Like the ever demanding march on of, we need more merchandise. We now need more movies. We need to sell stuff. That becomes the issue. When it loses its soul, you lose the people who were there with you from the beginning. And I think that's how I feel. Like, that is probably the best way to sum up how I feel about this Ghostbusters so far. I will say this, though. I will probably go see it. My roommate's a big fan of Ghostbusters, so I'm sure I'll get dragged to it. I will go a little bit begrudgingly unless I see something way different between then and now. But I'll give it a chance. I will go in and I'll try to have a good time. I went into the Ninja Turtles movie. Now, I'm not Frank Allen, our good friend who, you know, FTH crew. I'm not at that level.
No kidding.
But I, like I said, I was born in 84. I grew up in the 80s and early 90s. I had all of the first series Ninja Turtle, you know, figures and all that stuff. They were a huge part of my childhood. I wanted to be a Ninja Turtle when I grew up. I didn't understand things, but I went into the Michael Bay film willing to have a good time, even though I was frustrated with what he had done with Transformers at times. I was like, you know what? Ninja Turtles is just supposed to be fun. I'm not expecting like a super smart sci-fi movie here or anything. And I wasn't disappointed in that regard. I went in and I just wanted to have a good time. I did have some issues. Yeah. You know, there were some things that I didn't really care for. I think they could have done better. It actually looks like this next one, because we talked about the trailer recently on the show. The next one looks like they're probably going to move in the right direction and, you know, really kind of clean it up a little bit and tighten it up. So I'm willing to walk in and say, hey, this might not be, you know, the next Deadpool for me, but I'm going to try to have a good time. So in all fairness, despite my reservations right now, I'm not completely writing it off. It could surprise me. And maybe I'll walk out of it and have loved that scene with Leslie Jones beating the crap out of Melissa McCarthy. Maybe the lead up to it and the follow through afterwards make it totally worth it. It's just when you show me 2 minutes of random clips.
It was very random.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think I'll agree with you on that scene in particular, Paul, because that one bugged me, because I'm okay with the Leslie Jones character being our everyman look into, because you're surrounded by these scientists and engineers, the stuff that's up at the high level, and Leslie Jones is your view from the everyman point of view. But then to dumb it down, that that bothered me too. I agree with you.
Well, they were just. So, there were dumb moments in Ghostbusters.
Sure.
There were plenty of dumb
moments. But there were also brilliant.
One of them is called Ghostbusters 2. Yeah.
Hey, Pop, want a milk?
There was what?
Said one of them is called Ghostbusters 2.
I thought you said, there were a lot of them in Ghostbusters 2. I was like, no, I don't recognize that.
Yeah.
However, not in the trailer at all. And I just Googled it to make sure. Sigourney Weaver and Bill Murray make it into this movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of cameos.
Dan Aykroyd's going to be in it.
Right,
Chris Hemsworth as the geeky secretary.
We see him in the trailer.
He was the first one possessed by the ghost, it looked like. That's what it looked like in the trailer, because it looked like he was running at somebody.
God, you know, they need to do an outtake or some just random clip of a ghost going, I would possess you anywhere, Chris Hemsworth. Saturday Night Live skit something. It'd just be funny.
Speaking of Chris Hemsworth and reboots, did anyone see Vacation?
No.
The newer one with Ed Helms.
He's in that?
Yep.
He is, yeah.
So I want to see it because I like Ed Helms, but no, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. But speaking of reboots from treasured 80s franchises that maybe missed the mark.
I haven't seen it. But when I saw the thing, I was like, okay, Ed Helms picking up Chevy Chase's mantle, that fits.
Oh, yeah.
Their styles are similar.
Sure.
I can see that.
They're different. I mean, let's not try to say Ed Helms Chase. Sure. I mean, Chevy Chase has always had that sarcastic aspect that he's amazing with it. Turns out he's pretty much that person in real life, though, so it's pretty much Chevy Chase playing Chevy Chase and everything, but it was fun, you know? I like Ed Helms, like, because I like Ed Helms' range. You know what I mean? He's really, really impressed me over the years with, especially like when he kind of made his big break on The Office there, and like seeing him really like develop there and get to really do some different things and then expand out from there. I'm confident that he can carry a franchise like that for a few films, you know? I mean,
yeah. What was the one where they were running drugs in Mexico with Jennifer Aniston?
Meet the Millers.
Oh my God.
You are the Millers.
My wife and I went to see that. Kind of one of those mid-season movies where there's not a whole lot out. Like, why not? It's a date night. Loved every second.
That is just one of my favorite comedies of recent years. Yeah.
And she became a fan of Ed Miller at that point. All right, moving on. A lot of great stuff. we all want more about Ghostbusters, so we just don't have enough to know now. So here's where I get to sit quiet, because I've been out of the loop for years now, but sounds like something we need to talk about here on Breaking the Panel. Just to remind everybody, we do talk about a lot of TV and movie stuff. We delve into the comics somewhat, but this is a comic book based show, so anything that's been a comic book property, we try to tackle, and we have yet to tackle this topic. Walking Dead. The link that I have here, the article that I had open, but I don't have it open now, did The Walking Dead just hint that this fan favorite is going to die? And the very first picture is, anybody have a guess?
Oh, it's Daryl.
Daryl.
It's Daryl.
It's
Daryl,
the
one non-character from the comics.
Carl. No, back in the house, Carl.
Carl's in the comics. Daryl is not. But right. Okay, it says, Sunday night's episode, Not Tomorrow Yet, is the name of the episode, saw Rick and company launch their assault on the Savior's compound to help broker a trading deal with the Hilltop Colony. Things seem to go off without a hitch, with a cliffhanger, blah, blah, blah. But the most pivotal scene actually snuck up in the middle of the episode. Have you guys, who watched this, have you guys seen these episodes?
I'm not caught up in this season yet. I've only just started it. But, continue.
It's a little spoilery, if you want to take it right. For me, there's no spoilers, because I'm so...
Yeah, let me stick my fingers in my ears and go, no.
I also like when I talk about J.J. Abrams or I don't know. Anyway, so
MAA.
It says, while Glenn and Heath proceed to kill two sleepy Savior soldiers, they notice a series of grotesque Polaroids plastered on the wall. It's hard to tell exactly what's happening in each photo, but judging by the bloody guts, we can gather every photographed body has been severely mutilated. So then it gets into spoilers. I'll let you guys take over with what they're talking about and go where you want to go.
Sure. Well, the photos depict, according to this article on Huffington Post, depict what's happened when Negan uses Lucille on those characters. And it's a baseball bat wrapped with barbed wire, which in the comics or in the comic book, he uses that, and the graphic novels uses that to great effect, sadly.
Graphic is capitalized in that.
Graphic, yes, exactly. Hold on 1 second. Is Sunday night's episode the season finale already? No, that's not till April, right?
It's like a mid-season. The way it's hinting here is like a mid-season finale or something.
No, we already had mid-season finale.
Just came back from the break.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It did say cliffhanger. For next week. I guess every episode has a
cliffhanger.
I think there's at least two episodes left.
Reading through what happens in the comics, I don't know, do we want to get into that part, because it is
it already hasn't happened, because we've already had the first meeting with Negan's group, and that was when it happened. It was the first time you meet Negan's group.
That's true And Negan, it's not the first time we meet Negan, but it is the first time. Right, I see what you're saying.
And they allude to that in the series. They're like, normally we'd kill one of you.
Right.
So here's the spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it and you really want to stay true to it, you might want to skip past this part. This is the last headline of the show. We're going to do some wrap up. Stay tuned, obviously, but they might go spoilery on it. So there's your warning, guys. Go for it.
All right. So in the comics, this is how Glenn meets his end. Rick and Maggie and Glenn making an attack on the compound. They meet all the Saviors, they meet Negan, and sadly Glenn meets Lucille with the front of his face.
And the top of his head and the back
and the
of his
top
head.
Of his head. Oh yeah, exactly. I want to say too that I guess Carl loses his eye fairly close to the same way he did in the comic or in the
Yeah, it was. It was pretty close to they. That timeline's pretty close to the way it is.
But doesn't he get kidnapped by the Saviors? Doesn't he? I know there's some connection with Negan and.
Yeah, it's afterwards though.
Coral. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. It's funny because this last episode, I felt like they were showing a lot more of Carol than they have in episodes past. They're setting her up in a relationship. They're showing her contributions to Alexandria. They're showing that, you know, she's not just a kind of a twisted heart in the group, but also she can hold her own in a fight. And as we know, in the end, she does get captured by a couple of members of the Saviors that are outside of the compound.
And we're also seeing they showed more her showing more remorse for the killing that she's done than they ever had her do. Which kind of when they showed the 18, she's like trying to not cry. I was like, wait, what are they setting up for Carol? Because
you're thinking the same thing I was, right? That she's possibly the next on the chopping block.
Exactly. Yeah, but. Negan likes women a little too much, I think, to waste one. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Because in the comics, he's basically got a harem.
That's right, he does. I forgot about that. I don't feel like, you know, if they're going to do this, I don't feel like they're going to do it with Glenn, because Glenn's just kind of, they just did that with Glenn last in the first half of the season.
Exactly.
Like a faked out death. They could do it with Daryl. Jeez, it feels like.
Riots in the streets if that happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I've always felt like there have been a couple untouchable characters on Walking Dead, and I know that's I'm putting false.
Yeah, it's like if you read the comics, there are no untouchable characters.
Exactly.
Kirkman has been interviewed about it before, and he said literally, "This The Walking Dead is a story of Rick Grimes, and he is the only character who has plot armor."
Okay.
And even then, he lost a hand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. I didn't know about that. Emmett Fall.
And his
you.
Family and everything.
Yeah.
Dude, that's in the comics.
Comics. I don't know if they ever did that in real life.
I knew that. I'm screwing with you.
All right. I'm sorry. I put the warning out. That's for you, too.
I'm on the show, Charles. I can't just turn
fast
away.
Forward, hit fast
Carl.
Forward.
You know, the thing that really cracks me up about everything Walking Dead is that I know that they film it very close to you, Charles. And so I'm just always waiting for the day that you went and got an extra job that day, and I just see you in the background, because that would be.
Oh, I'm working on it.
That would be wild.
I am working on it.
Or you're.
I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to like.
Or you're the you know the skeezy zombie that's sliding through a doorway and half your body comes off or something. That would be. That would be insane.
Oh, that would be excellent. It'd be gross, but it'd be excellent. There was a photo circulated around the internet the other day, right after this episode, I guess. Where there's some heads on spikes.
They're on the road.
Okay, yeah. And somebody's like, "Hey, did anybody see Johnny Depp's appearance on The Walking Dead?" And one of the heads kind of looks like Johnny Depp a little bit.
Oh, well, if it's the it's the heads of that they're doing with a fake out of Gregory.
Yep.
And one of them was modeled after Johnny Depp.
Was
another
it really?
One was modeled after Greg Nicotero. So
that's funny.
That was an Easter egg that they talked about, I think, on Talking Dead even.
Yeah.
Oh, you're speaking of, we got a comment from one of the fans on Facebook. I think it was, they messaged me or something, and they said our show for them is right up there with The Talking Dead.
Oh, cool.
Like, awesome.
That's high praise.
What do you want from me? Because you can have anything you want now. Thank you, sir.
If only we had some tins of chocolate pudding in a baby's arm to give them. That,
Lisa, tell Chris Hardwick how much you feel about us.
Yeah. So it was really cool. So do you guys think that Daryl's even on the chopping block? Seriously, with the fan love that he gets?
I don't think that's why he should be.
I think they like doing this because it drives viewership. I know, even though I haven't been caught up, I see this stuff on Facebook all the time.
It's like last year with the Beth thing. Daryl was a big part of that. And they got to really show a lot of clips that made it seem like, you know, he was in a rough situation, and then he was all shook up after the Beth thing. And it was like, he's such a driver for this show. I don't know that you can cut him off. You know, like, I don't know that you can sever a limb like that. You know what I mean? Like, he's definitely one of the two legs that the show stands on a lot of times. Though I will say, towards the end of last season and the beginning of this new season, he doesn't play a big part. Like, he's there and he's kind of part of it, but he's in and out at best. So there's a very real possibility that in real life, Reedus wants out. You know what I mean? I don't know that that's the case.
He's got to go work on Boondock Saints 3, man. Come on.
Well, I mean, and that's the other thing, too. It's like, I mean, if we're talking reality here, he has a fan following. You know, he's got a bit of a cult following. And that was one of the big wins for Walking Dead was, like, they landed this guy that had a cult following and they brought a lot of people with it. And he's really become popular because of the show. But it's like, if he walked away from the show, where does his career go? I don't want to say that The Walking Dead is the end-all, be-all of his career at the moment, but unless you're talking about him headlining something on his own, like, what would you walk away for, you know? And why would you ever cut him loose when he's such a big driver for your show? It's one of those weird things where we start talking about, you know, what comes before the art? You know, do the numbers come before the art of the show itself? You know, the creativity. I don't know. It's a tough call.
I like what I really appreciate about this show is they've struck such a perfect balance between people that only watch the show and the comic book readers. Because at 150 plus issues right now that I'm in on this that I'm involved with with this comic series plus the show, I never know what they're going to do next, you know, week to week. I can make educated guesses, but how many times do those fall flat on us? As
how cool is it to watch the show and know that they're going to do some of the same things and then go completely different directions sometimes?
Exactly. I get to be just as surprised as people that only watch the show. And it's that balance that you're like, how do you do that? And it's so artfully done.
That's where the casting choices kind of threw me off. Is I didn't like Andrea's character much in the comics, but I got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had a sister, bitter, battle hardened. She becomes this warrior later on, who kind of goes kamikaze. Mm-hmm. They didn't do any of that with Andrea. I mean, they did a little bit, but I just did not like the actress they cast for Andrea, and I just hated her. And then when they did the whole thing with the mayor and they went different. The governor, and they went different. I was about halfway through that part of the season, and then they kind of did Michonne a little differently than what I was hoping for. And it's like, I'm just going to.
Wow. I don't know what you were hoping for with Michonne, but I feel that if there's a character that they nailed from the comics, it's it's Michonne.
All right. Well, to be fair, I was really not happy with the governor or Andrea. And so I left the show about the time Michonne was in the prison and they tied her up. They handcuffed her up and all this other jazz. I was like, I don't know. And that's where I left it. I was like, I don't know. But you've told me many times, oh, it gets so much better from there. I think Wisdom, you've said so. And one of these days, I'll sit down and watch it. But I think that's what got me out of it is like, it's a character I didn't really care for, and now you're showing me you're just going to kind of drag this one out. And I don't really want to do that.
Yeah. And it's the stuff that they bring in that wasn't in the comics. It's even so much better. Like all this stuff with Morgan and the dude that had him in the cabin and all that whole Terminus storyline, everything in there. Just
Terminus is wild. So good. What really blew me away about Terminus was that they did that on a show like this. Like they went there and they showed a lot for what that, you know what I mean? Like this is a cable show. Like it's not HBO. You can't just get away with murder, literally. You know what I mean? You can't just show anything you want on AMC. They showed a lot. Right. I was really blown away. I will, no matter what happens with this show, if it jumps the shark later and just gets bad, I will always praise it for the risks it took, especially at the times when it seemed like it really needed to. And that season in particular, that was a breath of fresh air, man. And I thought that was really brave, that particularly the scenes in Terminus itself, like how graphic they were, even if it was mostly implied. Oh, man, that was so.
Right. Well, the scene with them above the trough where they're just going down the line. And
I was
going
to say, as somebody exits to his part on Gotham.
right. Exactly. Penguin. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anything else to throw out about Walking Dead?
Not really. I mean, I can't wait for Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you know, to see his first appearance as Negan, but,
I just like him as an actor. So
brilliant casting. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here and that's going to be it for today. Is anybody watching or playing or reading anything that just have to get off their chest right now?
I've been playing a game. Actually, there was one I was going to talk about.
Adventures Academy.
I've been playing that piece of crap, yes. No, there's been one that I've been kind of hooked on lately called The Sequence. It has nothing to do with comics or movies or any geek culture, but it is a blast. It's a game called The Sequence where you're using the tools that you're given to get data from point A to point B in a grid. And each tool does things different. One rotates and one pushes and one pulls and one it changes the direction of something. And it's a really, really cool game. It's called The Sequence. I believe it's both on Android and iOS, and it's worth checking out.
Nice. Cool. Anybody else? I know, Klotz, you've been working for the man. Are you still getting your gaming in?
Well, not as much. Right now, this past week, we just did the pre-release for the new Force of Will set, which was pretty fun. There's some pretty crazy stuff in that set. I guess I have to acknowledge the world that I've been diagnosed with Ash Ketchum's disease, which is
is that a Pokemon thing?
Yeah, yeah. Ash Ketchum's disease,
catch 'em all,
being my self-coined phrase for the fact that in most, I'm a completionist in many things. You know, that was one of my big issues with Marvel's Avengers Alliance, is that I wanted to have everything and have everybody, and I just didn't have the time anymore. But I'm a completionist. This time, it actually has affected me for Pokemon itself. This year is the 20th anniversary of Pokemon, so there's a ton of crazy stuff going on. I picked up Omega Ruby last year. I'm mixing Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby in my head. I picked up Omega Ruby last year, played it a little bit, put it down, just picked it up again recently. Excited to see the new ones that were announced later this year. But it's they've been putting out all this crazy stuff. So I picked up the card game this year. I've been playing that online a bit, which has been kind of fun because I really like the way the mechanics are structured for it. It's so weird. I liked Pokemon when it first came out, but I was in like junior high and I was like, I'm too old for this kiddie-ish. And then like I spent most of my 20s and 30s like ignoring it, but like always kind of liking it a little bit. But now that it's like everywhere, I'm just like, yeah, okay. Like, I'm going to catch the Poke craze and have fun with it, especially during the 20th anniversary. So right now I'm trying to hunt down the exclusive 20th anniversary version of the Nintendo 3DS that has changeable faceplates with Charizard or Blastoise, and I'm embarrassed, man. Okay, so my roommate and I were both like, we're buying the cards, we're playing the card online. So we go into stores to like find stuff, you know, and before I came here, I got out of work a little bit earlier than I expected to today. So we went to a Dollar Tree to go look for the dollar packs for the TCG. And there are these kids, like two little girls that are at the place where they should be. And they're like looking at all the weird stuff that's there. And there's like a grandmother and their mom nearby. And I felt like such a out of place creeper, pedophile type for just being anywhere in the vicinity. Cause I'm like, can you guys just like go away so I can look at all this childish stuff in peace? It was so awkward.
That's awesome.
Did you run out to your windowless panel van in shame?
with a wizard.
Crying, eat all the candy.
Wizard,
I'm going to take these Pokemon cards and some candy, and you just have that put in the van for me, thanks.
I get
you, man. There's been times in life I've done that. Oddly enough, I'm playing Pokemon now as well. Never got into it before. Always avoided it. Somehow my daughter got into it recently, and so she spent some money on it, and to help her out, I looked at the online game to learn some of the rules, and today came up right before the stupid show, so I didn't even get time to open it. I got my own Pikachu specialty pack of 50 cards and some bonus packs to go with it because I'm going to build a deck to play with her. And it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. If you want to feel a little less childish but only digital, Hearthstone.
I've played Hearthstone. I stopped playing Hearthstone because I got tired of the grind. But I mean, you know, card games are my thing, man. Like, they're my jam.
Yeah,
card games are fun. And I've been a competitive card game player. I've dealt with the secondary market before professionally, and so it's always my thing. And it's just like, it's a lot of fun. What I will say, the best value in card gaming is Pokemon packs. Like, most card games sell booster packs for $4 a pack, right? Pokemon gives you an online code to redeem for every pack you open, yeah, which is amazing. No other game, Magic doesn't do that. No other card game out there gives you a free pack for their online version of the game with every physical pack you buy. And a lot of...
Do you want me to feed your addiction a little more?
Yeah.
If you put in multiple codes for your packs, like my daughter got a three-pack booster pack, mm-hmm, right? So she got three codes. We put all three in because I'm a geek, and that's what I did. Just punch them all in at one time, mm-hmm, redeem. It got her two extra packs, yeah, with it because she put in multiple codes. You get bonus packs. So she opened five online packs for the three, yeah, real-world packs.
Yeah, it's awesome. So yeah, best value, and I mean, the cards themselves aren't worth that much on the secondary market, but like if you have a kid that's into it, or you don't care about actual card values, like you're not the kind of person who's going to sell or trade or anything like that, you can't beat getting two packs for the price of one every time you buy something. And I play online. I enjoy it. But I also, you know, I intend to play in real life with my godson, and because he's getting into it, too. Real quick, as we get out of here, because we got to go. But mm-hmm, I just found out today that if you're listening to this and you have kids or you're into Pokemon, Target is doing a sale next week where the video games and the card game products are all buy two, get one free for the entire week, starting Sunday, which is an awesome value. And also next Saturday, not this Saturday that we're recording on the 10th right now, but I think it's the 17th. They're having a Pokemon Day in Targets where you can go get a free promo card. You can get these like Pikachu visor things and your kids can take pictures with Pikachu. I guess somebody's going to be dressed up as Pikachu. Now, if you're an adult, I think you can still take pictures with Pikachu, but we're going to mock you endlessly if you do so. But yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul's getting his picture taken with, yeah, Pikachu.
You also look up Toys R Us, yep, because my daughter took me over there or had me take her over there last week, 2 weeks ago, and they were giving two cards. I think in April they're gonna have a Saturday where they give out two more cards for, yep, free as well, and a little poster of how to collect things.
Oh, and for the next 9 months, or well, 10 months including this month, there's a free Pokemon, mythical Pokemon, given out each month for the video games. So there's corresponding special TCG mythical collections for each of those characters each month in stores as well. So keep an eye out for that stuff.
Well, there you go. All right, I'm Chocolate Fall. This is Paul Klotz, Brian Ibbett, Chris Wisdom. We're going to get out of here. Check out patreon.com/breakingthepanel. We really could use your support because we got to catch them all. We got to get those cards, man. So why don't you come on over, support the show. Lots of great stuff for you there. Help build the community and just let us know what you like to discuss when it comes to comic properties. We will catch you again next week.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.